was a good ball played into Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Good afternoon, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Threader podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe, help me to the road to 2K. You can follow me on all socials, and you can follow me on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music, but make sure to smash the like button on this video. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. On today's episode, I'm joined by my special guest, Abigail Rudkin, who's previously been on the show before. She's a Liverpool fan, artist, and she's from the Red Men TV. I'll be doing the match preview. This is the pre-match talk show. Liverpool versus Aston Villa. In the Premier League, it's Saturday night football. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff at Anfield under the lights. Can Aston Villa take advantage of Liverpool's poor form? Is it a good time to play Liverpool? Going into this game, Aston Villa in an excellent run of form on the back of an excellent victory against Manchester City. The team are on high confidence. Liverpool have had some poor results so far. I'm looking to put things right. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, Abby. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Do you know what? I'm all right in every way apart from football. Liverpool are just a complete mess at the minute. Nothing's going right. We're just losing game after game. We've literally won one game in six, I think. We've lost five games in six. Yeah, that's right. And it just feels an absolute mess at the minute. So as a football fan, I'm not feeling great, but apart from that, Christmas is on the way, so I'm not feeling too bad, but all the Christmas fixtures are in the back of my mind, and I'm definitely dreading playing you guys on Saturday. There's no positive vibes from Liverpool fans at the minute.
I mean, just like to say, keep up the good work. With your artwork, you always do a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I think at the minute I'm struggling to find things to paint when the players aren't doing that well. I painted Ekitike and Isak the other day and then they went on a terrible run of form. So I think I've been a little bit of a jinx, to be honest. I said I'd never paint a player until he'd won a trophy for Liverpool. And then I thought, you know what? We'd won like five games in a row with late winners. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to paint Ekitike and Isak together. And then we went on a terrible run of form. We've been losing so many games, so I'm blaming myself at the minute. I think I've been a bit of a jinx with the artwork.
But Aston Villa pointed you. I'm really looking forward to the game. I don't think if you're going to play Liverpool, this is probably the best time to play them.
Yeah,
with a recent run of results.
100%. Yeah, definitely. To be honest, I think every single team in the league is going to be looking at us now and hoping they can play us sooner rather than later while we're in this terrible run. I think Brentford felt exactly the same when we played against them. I think it's just been this constant build-up of teams just knowing they can take advantage of us because we're really sloppy defensively at the minute. Canate's not been good enough. Bradley's not looked good. He's looked really naive. And, you know, Kerkez is just throwing himself around all the time and making really rash decisions. So I think defensively, especially with Alisson being out in goal, I think if you were a Villa fan right now, this is a brilliant time to come up against us. I think you'll be feeling very confident by the end of this call because I feel so negative towards the whole situation and the way we are defensively. I think Ryan Gravenberch picking up an injury has just been an absolute nightmare. He just brings that extra level of stability there, and we've been lacking that, to be honest, without him. And we were still losing games with him, don't get me wrong, but It just looks worse at the minute.
You look at Liverpool as well. They're not firing on all cylinders at the moment. I know Salah scored last week, but in the likes of Salah, there isn't much better. And also, I think Mane starts. Last season, he did a tremendous job. But let's remember, obviously, a lot of the younger club players, but this season, he's inherited more of his own squad than Solidians. So it'd be interesting to see how Liverpool do this season.
Yeah, I think a massive thing that we thought last season when Jürgen left was there's going to be a massive drop-off here because none of these players are going to be used to this manager, new backroom staff, you know, all that sort of stuff changed around. Pep Linders has left and now he's ended up at Man City. To be fair, he did have a go at management himself, but all these changes, you know, goalkeeper coach changed, John Attenberg left. So there was so much change behind the scenes last season that I think all of us thought that transitional like feeling was going to be last year, and it just didn't happen. Arne Slot just managed to get this flow going. He tweaked little things about certain players. He put Ryan Gravenberch in the six. You know, he just changed little things about the players. He gives Salah a little bit more freedom.
The Arne Slot, he sort of, he got the best of the group of players he had.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I think if it wasn't for Jürgen, that team probably wouldn't have performed as well last season as they did. You know, it was the foundations built off what Jürgen was able to do with that team. And obviously, we've seen him talk about it in a recent interview on the Diary of a CEO, where he was just saying about how important those players were and how Arne Slot was able to sort of tweak what he'd done. And that's not to take any credit away from Arne Slot, but it was Jürgen's team at the end of the day. And I think a lot of us are seeing that now. Now we're sort of in this situation where we are losing games and Arne's been able to build his own team. But at the end of the day, he's not manager. Slot really is down as head coach. He's making a lot less decisions. We've got Richard Hughes there and Michael Edwards at the top trying to make most of those decisions in terms of signings and stuff. Whereas it sounds as though off the Diary of the CEO interview that Jürgen did, he was making most of the decisions. So I don't know if we're just in a little bit of a funny situation where we're just going to have to ride this storm until things finally click for Arne again with his new team. But you can't be spending nearly £450 million and be in this situation where you've lost five and six.
They've got a lot of players on big price tags. They don't look so like either because that situation was a strange saga. And also this season, Arne Slot, he's also been putting players in positions they wouldn't usually be playing in. The likes of Wirtz, playing like centrally and stuff.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to figure out what's best for these players and where he can fit everyone in. I think it was Neil Atkinson on the Anfield Wrap said in the summer when we were signing all these players, we're not signing a lot of height here or a lot of power and a lot of strength. We're signing quite agile players, you know. We weren't signing a lot of height and stuff like that. So to be honest, I think physicality and stuff like that is starting to look quite weak in our team. That's something that I'm very concerned about. But I just think Arne's trying to work out how to make this work. How can he make this work? How can he get Wirtz into a team while also still make room for the likes of, you know, Curtis Jones, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch? Like, he's trying to piece this midfield together where it works well for all of them. But I don't think that's an easy job. I think a lot of these players want to be in the same position and they want to be making the same passes and, you know, they want to be in the same part of the pitch. So I think he's got a difficult job there. I have said a few times that losing Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back has been really critical to like last season he was massive in some of those performances. I know he does pick up the injury and Bradley steps in and looks okay, but his balls up to Mo Salah and stuff like that were absolutely key in winning some of those games, some of the free kicks he'd take, his corners, just his ability on set pieces and stuff like that were a lot clinical.
And Trent Alexander-Arnold, he was going to stay at Liverpool because he's always Liverpool through and through because we all thought he was going to be like Steven Gerrard, but he never ended up like you.
We all thought it as well. Like, we all thought he would want to follow in the footsteps of Steven Gerrard, and that's what we always saw from his interviews. He come out and he said he wouldn't think about playing anywhere else. Steven Gerrard was his idol. He'd never want to play anywhere outside of the Premier League. He only wants to win things for Liverpool. So I think it was quite upsetting as Liverpool fans to see in his prime that he has decided that he wants to use his talents elsewhere. He wants to go and win things with Real Madrid rather than with Liverpool. And I think that's quite upsetting for us as fans, but it makes us feel even worse now this season when we're in a situation where you just think at times when we get free kicks or if Salah's being completely shut out of games and Salah hasn't been getting the service, to be honest, you just think Trent Alexander-Arnold there would have been perfect. And I think we've tried to replace what Trent brought in a different way. So I think that's what's happening with Wirtz. I think we've sort of thought maybe he can be the outlet. Maybe if we get Frimpong, you know, because if we get Frimpong behind Salah, he can sort of feed up balls in a different way. He's a brilliant crosser, Frimpong, from what I've seen. But it just hasn't worked out that way whatsoever. These players, I don't know if it is the physicality when it's down to Wirtz and maybe Frimpong and players like that. They're struggling. They're being bullied off the ball at times.
Oh, Virgil van Dijk.
Well, yeah.
Van Dijk, obviously, he's getting older, honestly.
Yeah.
He hasn't got the legs that he used to have.
It's heartbreaking as a Liverpool fan to see it going this way, but it was bound to happen. Eventually, he was going to slow down. Eventually, he was going to slow down and he was going to start to show his age. But straight after winning the Premier League title, I don't think any of us expected a drop-off like this. But I don't think it helps that he's got Konate next to him. That's playing really badly. Konate is really rash in some of his decision-making. He's not even winning headers, and he's the tallest player on the pitch sometimes. There's things like that in his defensive play that just aren't great. And Van Dijk's having to cover for him all the time. Like I've said a lot this season, I've never seen Van Dijk sweat this much because he's literally got to cover for everyone. He's got to try and be everywhere. And I think that's making him look like a worse player than he is. I don't think having these players around him is helping him whatsoever. So I think if we would have signed Gay in the summer, I think we would have had a different story right now. I think Konate's bad form's not helped whatsoever. So I do think if we'd have got Gay in, we would have had two proper leaders there at the back, and there would have been more cohesion and more understanding there between the two centre-backs.
Well, I predicted then to win the league at the start of the season. I think most people thought he was going to walk it.
But it sounds ridiculous to be in a situation where you've just won the Premier League. You've spent £450 million, something like that. You go and you sign Alexander Isak, Ekotike Kerkez, you know, Frimpong, Wirtz, all these expensive players that were meant to be amazing. You know, we already seen Kerkez was strong from playing for Bournemouth. And Isak, obviously, at Newcastle, he was probably, in my mind, the best striker in the world at the time. He was the one all summer I was saying, I want this player. Even after we signed Ekotike and I saw that he was good in pre-season and I saw little clips of him on YouTube and all that stuff that makes him look like a brilliant player and we wouldn't need him. I knew we needed Alexander Isak because, you know, you need more players. We let go of Diaz, you know, we let go of Nunes. Sadly, we lost Jota in one of the worst, the most horrible gut-wrenching situations ever. So it was a situation where we needed Isak as well as Ekotike, and that's just the truth around it. It's the fact that it's gone this way where Isak's already picked up an injury, but he wasn't performing well. He was having like four touches of the ball when he was on the pitch. It's looking as though Ekotike is the stronger one, but it's just really strange for Arne Slot to win the title, then build on that strength and get backed by the owners and get money and end up in this situation. And I'm trying to work out what it is, whether it's a lack of strength and height, whether it's just, you know, to be honest, I think there's a massive situation that's being completely ignored. And I'm trying to say as much as I can on shows, these players are grieving, and you're going to work every single day to somewhere where you used to have Jota there. You've literally lost someone that you see every single day. Yeah, 100%. Grief's a massive thing. Exactly. Grief's a massive thing in people's lives. And Mo Salah's come out and said how devastated he is. We saw him crying at the end of the Bournemouth game. Virgil van Dijk's coming out in interviews saying it's the stuff off the pitch that's affecting us. But it feels as though in a lot of the media and stuff like that, and whether it's just social media and me arguing with people on Twitter who just want to try and get me to retaliate, people are just, you know, pretending that that's not a thing that they're going through and that that shouldn't have an impact. But grief has a massive impact. So I think it is just a mountain of issues for Arne Slot to try and work through. But we all said when we did lose Jota in the summer, listen, we've got to give these players a little bit of breathing room this season. They're going through a lot. We've got to have some understanding. But now it just feels like in terms of social media, all that understanding, now we've started actually losing games and Van Dijk's coming out and saying it's affecting them. Feels like that's being ignored, to be honest.
So what do you expect from the guy on Saturday?
I expect us to get beat, but I never want to bet for Liverpool to get beat. But there's something about Aston Villa that just seems like a really well-built team that's quite structured, and your game plans are really good, to be honest, from what I've seen. We tend to be losing games from a point of a mistake. Konate mispasses the ball, Kirkes gives away a throw-in, and then they take a long throw and they score. I mean, I know against Brentford, don't give them any long throws, and then that was literally exactly what happened to us. And, you know, there's all these little factors that have been going wrong.
Don't you know, Emery got to talk to his spot on. They're going against Man City. We've dominated them in every department. He'll really give us a confidence lift with all the players. I don't think physically could be important. It looks at Onana, Kamara, and McGinn. I think sort of like Onana is an ideal player to have against you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fear of the threat right now already, it only takes one mistake for us to concede the goal. If you've watched any of the Liverpool games this season, it doesn't actually tend to be goals from a moment of brilliance and a load of teamwork and, you know, build-up play and stuff like that. That doesn't seem to be where we're conceding goals. It seems to be that we're conceding them either from, like, set pieces or, you know, someone's made a mistake. Most of the time, it's coming from a mistake at the back. I mean, Mamardashvili looks really unstable with the ball at the minute. The players don't seem to realise that he's left-footed, he's not right-footed.
What do you think as a goalkeeper?
He's not Alisson. That's a big problem for me at the minute, is he's not Alisson Becker, and we're quite spoilt as Liverpool fans that we've had the best goalkeeper in the league for a very, very long time, in my opinion. It just feels as though the strength of Alisson and that sort of understanding between Konate and Van Dijk and, you know, Conor Bradley and players like that, they know which foot to pass to. And
well,
I know that sounds
ridiculous, it's brilliant of your team.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, the team sheet was always, the first players on that team sheet were Alisson, Van Dijk and Salah, and maybe Gravenberch last season. They're the starters no matter what, and you build the team around them. And, you know, Alisson's ability to shot stop, you know, when his distribution with his feet's great as well, you know, it feels relaxed when the ball lands back to Alisson Becker. But there's something about Mamardashvili, when him being left-footed, the players are still trying to pass it to his right foot. And he just looks unstable. He looks like he starts to panic a little bit then when he's got the ball and he's got to distribute it out. His distribution's not as good for me. Listen, I've had panicky moments with Alisson at times over the last couple of years where I've felt as though he hasn't distributed it very well. But you can just tell Mamardashvili doesn't feel stable there at the back at the minute with Van Dijk and Konate in front of him. There's just something about that. And when Konate's got a mistake in him, every single game, Konate's got a mistake in him. It just feels as though when you've got Mamardashvili there, if we'd have had Alisson there, I'd have felt all right about it, because, you know, if it's going to be one-on-one or something like that, Alisson's really good when he's face-to-face, like with a striker or whatever. He's really good at being able to make his body bigger and stop that. Mamardashvili doesn't seem to have that ability. He's made some good saves, don't get me wrong, but there are a few that I've looked at that we've conceded where I've thought, I think Alisson stops that one. So that's always in the back of my mind as well.
And defensively, but you're very fragile. Alex and Morgan Rogers, even driving at the team. It's important we get Morgan Rogers on the ball as much as possible. And I mean, things get out matching. I think the midfield battle will be key as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I think Morgan Rodgers is one of those players that I'm absolutely terrified to come up against. He just seems like an absolutely brilliant player, and he will create something for you guys. He can get those goals. But when we're this weak defensively, it just makes me worry even more, because you just know that one mistake and they'll just be able to capitalise on it. And I can't say I've watched too much of Villa recently over the last couple of weeks. I watched you more towards the start of the season when you were giving Harvey Elliott a little bit of game time, because a big player that I love is Harvey Elliott, and I wanted them to go to Villa and I wanted them to thrive there. And he got about six appearances, and then it's just completely dried up, and he doesn't get an appearance against Man City. So they're the sort of games that I was sort of tuning into. But from what I've seen against City, I'm very, very worried. Like you've just said about midfield battles, our midfield at the minute. I think if we can get Szoboszlai and Jones teaming up together and stringing a few passes together well, you know, controlling the ball and not overthinking things and getting dispossessed, I think we should be okay. I don't know how far along Ryan Gravenberch is. If there's a chance for Ryan Gravenberch to come back in, then you've got to start him straight away, because he's been our strongest point, and he just gives that extra layer of protection in front of Van Dijk and Konate. But there's something about that midfield that feels really disjointed at the minute, and I don't know if it's because we're trying to get Vert on the ball as much as we can, we're trying to get him to create something, or if it's McAllister just being completely out of form, just being completely muscled out of the games at times. To be honest, he looks like an absolute shell of himself last season. I do think that that's a place where people have been getting a lot of joy. We're leaving lots of space in the midfield at the minute. So if Villa can capitalise on that, then that's a big one.
The only other thing is that on record against Liverpool, against, we seem to struggle at Anfield. I think it's one of the evening games at Anfield, but the crowd always up for it. But we sort of need to silence the crowd to make them feel edgy, I think.
Anfield under the lights is always going to have massive atmosphere. It's always going to have people up for it. Everyone's always excited for those night games under the lights. I think when we're in a situation like this, there's so much anxiety in the crowd from desperation. You could feel it at the Man United game. There was so much stress around it, and you just knew everyone in the crowd, and every single stand was just feeling sick.
No,
I definitely didn't. Well, to be honest, I was in the Lower Kenny Dalglish stand, and that's where Harry Maguire came and did a knee slide right in front of me. I was only in row 10.
It was an
absolute sickener, to be honest. So I think now we've had a situation like that at home at Anfield. I don't know if it's going to make the crowd more up for it. It'll probably make it more aggressive, maybe, if we are losing towards the end of the game. That tends to be when we have to pick up that sound and try and get behind them and become that 12th man. But for the first half, or probably longer, the first 60 minutes, the ground at the minute just feels filled with anxiety and dread.
And also,
to be honest, you can feel it.
You've been losing games against teams all that expected you to beat last season. Obviously, the Brentford defeat. Before that, you had Man United, you had Chelsea. All teams are all around you.
Yeah, that's been a massive pain. There's nothing worse as a Liverpool fan than losing to Man United at Anfield. To do it in our own ground is just sickening. They're all
usually it's a fortress.
Yeah, especially under the lights. Listen, Champions League games under the lights at Anfield are massive, and I feel like the ground is up for it right from the off there. But the Premier League games are different. There's such a drag to it, and you could feel it last season that, like, when every single game feels like a final, when we were going up against Arsenal last year, it just felt like every single game was a must win. So there was just this anxiety and everyone in the ground, and, you know, pundits were coming out and saying Anfield's not very loud at the minute, but it was just the stress. But now we're sort of on the flip side of that, where you can see this title race just completely disappearing in front of us. We're just going to have to try and go for top four if it carries on like this for a couple more games, because we've lost as many games as we did last season. Literally, and we lost most of them after we'd won it, and Slot went to Ibiza, you know. So there was all those things going on. So there's just this feeling of dread at Anfield at the minute in the
ground. The Christmas period. It's going to be very important for Liverpool.
Well, it's so many games, isn't it? It's so many games back to back that we can't go on like this. It can't carry on with these defeats. We've got to pick it up. We've got to work out where it works. And I think you can look to that Frankfurt game in the Champions League where we had Isak and Ekitike together in like a 4-4-2 sort of situation. That worked. So I don't know if we have to, you know, maybe go back to that if Isak's fit when we can, but it just leaves us so open and so exposed that you just don't know if it's worth it or not. It works in Champions League games against weaker sides, but when you've got teams, I don't know if Alexander Isak will be back for this game, but when you've got teams like Aston Villa that are very well drilled in how to play and how to defend and stuff like that, I just don't think I want to be leaving us wide open like that. But it's not working the way he's doing it in the Premier League. And this is where people are getting annoyed at Arne Slot. It's not working. So something's got to change. You can't keep it the way it is. And why is it that he makes a change in the Champions League and then just reverts straight back to his old ways? I think there's a stubbornness. And I think a lot of fans are getting a little bit upset with Arne because of that. Listen, the social media fans and the fans in the ground have got very different opinions when it comes to Arne Slot. On social media, before the full-time whistle of that Brentford game, people were saying he needed sacking and he needed to be out and all these things. But then I'll talk to people that I go to the game with and like me friends and face-to-face and stuff like that with people. And everyone's still back in Slot. I'll go to watch us against Crystal Palace tonight at Anfield. And no one there will be saying, get rid of the manager. There's just this sense around social media. And I do think it comes from a sense of like desperation now to just try and stay in some form of a title race so we're not out of it before Christmas. But it's a difficult situation. But I can't see how Arne Slot's going to get us out of it in time for this Villa game.
We're going to get a graphic on the screen. So, Abby, you sent me this. You never put a predictive on it. The Liverpool lineup. So can you talk me through it? So how will they set up on Saturday?
Well, I think we're just going to end up going back to that sort of to a 4-3-3. Yeah, I think if Isak's not going to be fit, he's not going to go to that 4-4-2. The frustration for me is Chiesa is fit at the minute and he's playing well, but Arne Slot won't start him. That's why this is my predicted lineup. If it was up to me who we played, I'd be giving Chiesa a start, and that is probably even over Mo Salah. We're in a situation with Salah now where it's not clicking. He's getting completely shut out of games. He's being selfish at times when he's on the ball. He's not making the pass at times when he could have. There's a few moments looking back, and it's really frustrating to just, especially in games where we're losing. I can understand why the manager has dropped him occasionally, but for this game, I just don't think he will. He doesn't seem to have any trust in Chiesa. Ekitike picks himself. He is the informed striker at Liverpool Football Club.
He's very powerful, he is. Ekitike, his pace, he's really strong. You've got to make sure that you're going to watch him making those runs.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. He's
good finisher.
Yeah, he is. He's a brilliant finisher. And I think all the Liverpool fans that have had Darwin Nunes for a couple of years and have had to deal with him going offside and just skying every shot, it's like a breath of fresh air having a player like Ekitike that's able to finish his chances and has played really well. Obviously, he had that frustrating moment for us where he's been a little bit childish and already been on a yellow card and then whipped his top off against Southampton in the cup and got sent off for it. Stuff like that is just like, no, we don't need that that stupidity, because that could cost us again. You know, things like that. He needs to have his head properly in the right place for games like these, because we're in desperate times, come for desperate measures now. But Cody Gakpo is another one that I think could possibly be dropped, but I don't think he will. We haven't really got the players on the bench to be dropping these players.
But Kirkes. He really gets forward, he does, Kirkes. Well, he bums up and down the pitch.
The thing with Kirkes is when we signed him, I imagined it fully that it'd be Kirkes and Bradley or Kirkes and Frimpong. I'd say I more imagined it with Frimpong and Bradley, you know, running down them wings. We had for absolute years, we had Alisson and Robert, no, Alisson, Trent Alexander-Arnold and obviously Robertson running down those wings, you know, whipping balls in and stuff like that. We had that for so long that when we signed players like Kirkes and Frimpong, I thought, right, Slot's bringing that back in a little bit now. You know, we've seen the way he could push forward for Bournemouth, Kirkes. But there's something about him this season where it's not right. It doesn't feel right. And I don't know if he's being told by Arne Slot that he needs to be more defensive and a little more cautious in his passing or what. But what we've seen, he looks rash at times. He's throwing himself on the floor all the time.
He usually does that.
Irritation.
The long throws.
Yeah, he does, to be fair. There's just something about him this season that doesn't feel like the player that we thought we were signing, and that's a real concern for me. But I feel like Arne Slot's going to persevere with him, and no matter what. It just feels like Slot has signed this player, and he's going to push with him, even though we've got Robertson there. Robertson's legs have gone pretty much to the point where he can't run to the ability of what we were expecting. He had some beautiful balls. Was it against Frankfurt? I think it might have been against Frankfurt. He played really well, but the manager still persists with Kirkes. Now, Kirkes is like 21, something like that. He's a really young lad. And it's so much pressure. Yeah, it's so much pressure on him at the minute, considering his performances haven't been great. But I don't know if that's a tactical thing. That's where people are getting frustrated with Arne Slot, because they just don't feel like they were using him to the best of his ability at times. But I don't know. We've got Bradley on the other side, who's looked quite naive as well. It's not perfect at the minute, considering the quality of these players. Yeah, no, there's definitely, honestly, there's some weaknesses there that you'll be able to take advantage of on Saturday, 100%. I just keep telling myself that eventually it'll all click. You know, Kirkes will finally be back to that player that we thought he was going to be. Bradley will look like the Bradley of last season, where he was brilliant defensively and doing tackles on Mbappe and, you know, crazy things like that. There's all these things that you just expect this fight to come back, and that's something that we're lacking. You know, when Van Dijk's coming out in interviews and he's saying after the Brentford game, the fans who were with us last season celebrating need to stay with us while we're losing. Yes, that's right. I agree with that. We need to stay with them and back them and all that sort of stuff. But you've got to show fight in your performances, and that's not what we're seeing whatsoever. I'm not seeing any fight from these players. They look tired. They look done. They don't. The bother and the care doesn't seem to be there in the games. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure they'd say that's wrong, and they are fighting in the games. But it doesn't feel like the way it did at the start of the season when we were getting those late winners, where it just felt like the fight never ever ran.
Well, hopefully on Saturday you'll do that when the week this is.
I would say as a Villa fan, you should be confident coming up against us, because there are so many weaknesses. But like I've said, it feels as though as a Liverpool fan, this has got to click into place soon. This has got to eventually work. The lack of cohesion in this team is just it's really hard to watch, and it's bad football. And that's quite sad to say, is, you know, we had years of heavy metal football with Jürgen that we loved to watch and was really exciting. I think we might have to get to a point now, whereas if we do move back to the way we played against Frankfurt, maybe if we do have like an Ekitike and Isak sort of in a two, I think we need to go back
You need like a reset. Sort of going back to basics, maybe.
I think that is a big thing, to be honest, maybe going back to basics. Because some of the players are just lacking the ability to pass the ball. Like, it's getting to the point where we're finally winning back possession and we're giving it away straight away. Like, literally, you've had the ball for a second and then we've given away possession. And that's not something that we're used to. And I know I was saying about exciting football with Jürgen, but at least last year with Arne, it felt very rigorous and very strict. And, you know, it felt like we were playing in an orderly fashion. Like, at least there was some sort of cohesion about it, and it felt like a professional performances. It just feels like all that's gone out of the window at the minute, and it's It's not good watching, and that's where I think people online are turning against Arna at the minute, because it was exciting getting all those late winners at the start of the season, but you could see the problems then. For us to end up needing a late winner in a lot of those games, you know, clearly there was issues then. Yeah. We haven't, like, blown away teams for a really long time. That Frankfurt game where we got that win, scoring 5 goals, I thought that we'd kick on then. I thought, right, okay, we've worked out how it works. The players are scoring. The confidence should be up. We should be able to go on and beat Brentford now. But that's just not what happened.
Anyway, Emery, so he's been in 3 years. He's been in charge of Aston Villa. So in your opinion, how would you sum up Unai Emery after 3 years in charge?
Well, as a Liverpool fan, I always wanted Stevie G to do well. So when you ended up sacking him and it didn't work out, I was absolutely gutted for Stevie, and I was in a mindset where I thought this is his Premier League opportunity.
It just didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out, and you know, he lost the dressing room by the looks of it, but back then it just felt as though as a Liverpool fan, his move from Rangers and stuff like that, then he'd eventually be Liverpool manager if it worked out at Villa. So the fact that that didn't work out and he got sacked, it's neither here nor there, but getting Emery in, I think, you know, he's brilliant in Europe, like as a manager, you know, the amount of times he wins the Europa and stuff like that is just brilliant. And I think getting in a manager like that, you know, consistently trying to get European football, I think that's great for Villa. As a Villa fan, that must feel absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it's amazing, yeah.
I could say, you know, oh, you couldn't ask for more, but you can. You can always ask for more. You can always hope to win the league and win, you know, win European trophies and stuff like that. But the point where you are after 3 years looks really good. The fact that you're you're in good form. You are in really good form at the minute. But from the last 3 years, it is working. It's working out.
It's remarkable.
I don't look forward to playing against Villa. Yeah, I don't look forward to playing against Villa whatsoever. Like, because I just know that he's a good manager. He manages the players really well. His structure and everything. I mean, the only problem that I have, which I will say, is his lack of ability of starting or giving any game time to Harvey Elliott. Yes. Harvey Elliott is a massive player.
I was going to say, what do you think of the situation? Well, he wasn't even in the team.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't even in the team against City. And to see him not even in the team with his ability, it's just... As a big Liverpool fan who knows that Harvey was such a boyhood Liverpool fan and worked so hard for Liverpool. He won us the game against PSG away last season. He's been brilliant at times for us, but listen, we go and sign players like Florian Wirtz and you've got no chance. Harvey's original position that he wanted to play was right wing. He had Mo Salah in front of him at Liverpool. He had no chance, do you know what I mean? So all the places that he could play at Liverpool, it was never going to work out, which is so sad. And he was just such a top guy and a great player. And
it's creativity. Look, his creative spark. I mean, he can shoot from distance. He's a player that can change a game. In the Villa team, we haven't got many of those players. But I don't know what the reason might be, because I think we're looking at Unai Emery, I think. He has sort of like his favourite. He has players that can affect each game. So maybe he hasn't been making the cut about that.
Well, maybe. Well, I was speaking to a Villa fan from UTV, Luke, and he was saying he was saying about how maybe it's something to do with PSR and not wanting to make the signing. And, you know, do you think that that's a possibility? Could it be PSR and not wanting to have to pay the 35 million? Could it be a situation? Because he had to get 10 appearances? He had to get 10 appearances for Villa and then you had to pay 35 million. So in my mind now, I'm wondering is because he's had 6 and you're thinking, right, we don't want to sign him. We don't want to spend that money on that player. I don't know. That's the only reason I can think as to why this would be happening and why he wouldn't be getting in the squad for City.
God, didn't realize he's a brilliant player. I thought he was poor there, but injured, but then I realised It wasn't even to do with that.
I don't understand, to be honest, but there's times this season at Liverpool where I've looked towards our bench and I've thought, in a game where we've been getting beat or whatever, and I've thought, if we had Harvey Elliott to bring on right now, I'd feel a little bit confident, because I'd feel as though he always comes on with fight for Liverpool. He's always got that fire in his belly to want to win a game for Liverpool. I'm sure he'd be the same for Villa. He's always got that about him where he wants to create. He'll carry the ball himself. He wants to create that moment and help us win the game. He's always been like that. So to see, I don't know if it's just because you're on a good run of form, maybe the manager's just thinking you don't really need him at the minute, so what's the point? Yeah. But, you know, he came out in an interview just before he left saying about how it's a short career being a football player, and if he has to leave Liverpool Football Club when he's a Liverpool fan, if he has to leave, he's got to go somewhere where he can get game time. And I thought Villa would be that place, but it's just not panning out that way for him whatsoever. I'd love to know why. I mean, maybe it's monetary reasons, but if I was Aston Villa, I would be wanting Harvey Elliott on the bench to play. Obviously, he couldn't play against us anyways.
He's an impact player. Actually, you don't like Jadon Sancho. I actually prefer Harvey Elliott.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Jadon Sancho. Did
you think you're better structured now without those players that left? You know, the lone players. You obviously had Rashford and stuff like that. Do you feel as though you're in a better situation without them now, or did you wish that they would have stayed on?
Well, PSR wise, I think it's always going to happen, but you know, I think we really miss a Marcus Rashford. But that sort of playing, a Marcus Rashford. If it wasn't for him last season, I think we would have really struggled.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things. I was surprised that it didn't really work out. But if Barcelona come calling and stuff like that, obviously he's wanted to make the move. And I think it's probably I think it's probably a good thing for him to leave the Premier League as well, because there's so much pressure from the media on these players, especially the England players, to sort of try and prove themselves. So I think moving to Barcelona is probably a good move for him. But just when I seen that all that movement at Villa, I thought he might put more money on the table. But like you've said, there's PSR that you've got to think about. I mean, as Liverpool fans, we sold so many players to sort of be able to, not balance, because we did spend more than we did spend more than we sold. But we sort of still had that fine balance, and that's something that I've always appreciated with FSG and obviously Richard Hughes and Michael Edwards now at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. We structure things very well, and we make good sales. We make good money back off players. So I guess we'll see what happens with Harvey. But give us him back if you don't. If you don't want him, we'll take him back.
Well, I'm going to say to you, do you admire of him? You love him.
Yeah. This is the thing. I don't know. I want the thing with Harvey is I want him to get the move that he deserves, and if that's not going to happen at Villa and he's not going to get the game time. And it's another thing with Liverpool, like I was saying before, about like our stature and, you know, like our strength, you know, height and stuff like that. We have struggled with the signings that we've made. We've not signed a lot of height. Harvey Elliott's not that either. Harvey Elliott's not massive with the pace, and he's not massive with his physicality.
Well, you see Harvey Elliott. Was it in the England, was it under-21s? Under-23s or something? He had a real good tournament.
He was unbelievable. I think that got us an extra $5 million on his price tag. That competition, he was absolutely brilliant. And I think that's where you can see that, if you can watch a compilation of that tournament, he's absolutely brilliant. That's why as a Liverpool fan, it really confuses me how he's made that move. He must have been made promises that he was going to be given game time, and he just hasn't. Because, like he said in all those interviews, he's going for game time because he wanted to be a Liverpool player. He did, because he was a boyhood Liverpool fan.
Unai Emery, I think, he's really set in his ways. He's like my skin. He doesn't like it. He doesn't start. He seems to start certain players.
You
always see someone he likes.
I think you can have some managers can be stubborn. they can sort of decide. This on a slot can be the same at times. He'll be very much like, this is my team, this is my squad, and I'm not changing anything. And it felt like that at the start of last season, to be honest. There was a slight concern that he was going to run that midfield into the ground. You know, with McAllister, Szoboszlai and Gravenberg, it just felt like towards the end of the season, even Ryan Gravenberg was coming out in interviews saying, like, I can't go on much longer with this, because he was just these constant starts and this constant just need to perform. You know, like I was saying, every game felt like a final, but Arne Slot stuck in his ways with that. And I think that's why he's struggling maybe with all these new players. Maybe it's just a sense of he needs to work out where it works for different players. To be honest,
yeah,
I thought Wirtz looked brilliant on the right against Frankfurt. There's all these other possibilities there at the minute, and we need to try and make it work. So, yeah. But if I did have Harvey Elliott on the bench, I'd have been happier.
And we're talking about Liverpool again. So what do you think is the reason to Liverpool's recent bad form? What do you put it down to?
Too many new faces, too many new players that haven't really had a lot of time yet with the manager. I think Alexander Isak didn't even have a pre-season because he was spending all that time isolated away from Newcastle. I think that's not giving him a good start to the season. I think it's just him trying to fit too many players into different positions and he's trying to make it work. He's trying to get Wirtz those starts. You know, McAllister's dropped off and stuff like that. I just think bad performances from individuals all around the pitch. Too many new faces that he's trying to work in.
It's a bit of like a hangover since winning the Premier League last season. Some of the teams, I think, have worked out the way Arne Slot plays. The style of play, like, they know what to expect.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, to be honest. Salah's just being completely shut out of games. They put two men on Salah and that's it. Salah's got getting no joy whatsoever. And like we've already discussed about his lack of service as well, to be fair. You know, there's all that. But all of a sudden, people are criticising Salah for not tracking back, even though Arne Slot's come out and said he doesn't want him to do that. He's given the licence to just attack. There's all these things, but Arne Slot will come out in his press conference and tell everyone right before a game exactly how we're going to play with his honesty. And he just doesn't expect the teams to know how we're going to play. And that's something that I've seen across social media, is lots of fans are getting frustrated with his honesty, whether that's saying players are performing badly or whether that's exactly telling our tactics. There's all these things we were never used to with Jürgen that we've just got to sort of get our heads around with Arne. And I don't want to criticise him too heavily when he has just won us the Premier League literally only a couple of months ago. But like you've said, a hangover, like I was saying about the midfield, the energy levels are just like completely zapped. Like it's all been taken from last season, but you expect them to be recharged.
Conceding goals, that's a big concern, I think.
Well, it's getting to the point. It feels a little bit like we're going to have to go back to the way we were with Jürgen with the heavy metal football in about 2018, 2019, where we just had to outscore the team we were playing. You had the likes of Firmino, Mane and Salah going forward in that front three, and we just had to outscore the team because we weren't that good defensively at times. It feels like that again to me, that we're going to have to go back to, listen, you're just going to have to attack, and try and score as much as you can, because defensively we're going to keep conceding if this carries on with the likes of Konate. This is going to keep happening. So that's the way I'm looking at it right now. Like you said, go back to basics. I think we need to go back to actually
being complacent,
trying to learn how to score.
Being complacent, sir.
Yeah, complete. Yeah, 100%. You can see it all around. And I don't know if this just this thing with certain players like Van Dijk, like Salah, where they're so confident in themselves because they've done so well for so long that they just don't expect this type of drop off from themselves, so that they can be quite complacent at times. But yeah, it's one of those situations where we don't know what the answer is yet. And I thought I saw the answer against Frankfurt, and it was like, wow, this is finally working, and all these players look unleashed. But that was a poor team. Aston Villa are on a poor team. Obviously, we've got Palace tonight, which I'm absolutely dreading. At Anfield under the lights, but it's still like, you know, after they beat us for the community.
Well, of course, because into the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, this is the Carabao Cup tonight.
I forgot that you're playing tonight. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to play tonight and then again on Saturday night. So I don't know. If we can get a win tonight and just get a little bit of confidence back in these players to be able to go on against Villa. But I thought that after Frankfurt,
Are you going?
I am. Yeah, I'm going with my dad's 7:45 kickoff at Anfield. Hopefully the vibes are a little bit better, but okay. I doubt it. We need to try and win silverware this year. So some people are saying, let's just lose this game. Let's just go out of the competition and focus on the Champions League, focus on the league and maybe the FA Cup. But for me, this is a lovely trip to Wembley if we can get there. And, you know, sets positive vibes. Look, Jürgen's last season, we won the Carabao Cup and it was probably one of the best moments I've had as a Liverpool fan. So winning tonight's still important to me, but the Premier League and Champions League will always be the priority. But Villa are a good side, and obviously Palace are a good side tonight. So, and then we've got Man City in, is it the 9th, I think, the 8th, something like that. We've got Man City, so it's a scare. Oh, Real Madrid as well. We've got Real Madrid, we've got Man City.
It doesn't get any easier
whatsoever. We've got difficult fixtures all round.
So we're going towards the end of the podcast. There's two more talking points. So what is your thoughts on the Emi Buendia injury?
Well, he's obviously a threat. So that's something that you'd want to be without. I haven't fully realised that he had a really bad injury. Was it a bad one? How long?
Well,
after
the guy, I think he's on crutches.
So that's a long one then.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm never the type of person who would ever want a player to be injured or anything like that. Yeah. But I think the less threats we can have against us in the game, the better. And Buendia will always be a threat. So I think that's probably a positive thing for Liverpool to not have to come up against them. I mean, you might say the same about the fact that we haven't got Alisson in goal or Isak looks like he'd be injured. So there's always that thing around it. But if you're going to be Liverpool Football Club, we shouldn't really have to hope for injuries of other players to be able to win football games. So there's always
He was in great form.
Did he get the assist for the goal against City? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and obviously he scored against Spurs. And I think he didn't really seem to get much luck because he'd been in out of the team. He was out to nine last season. And he'd been really flaunting for his place. But as soon as that happens, he gets injured, which is going to be a massive setback for Aston Villa. And also for him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, hopefully as a Liverpool fan for me, we should be able to maybe ride the waves of a few of your attacks a bit better without him there. But like, it's never a good thing when a player gets injured, and Liverpool Football Club should be able to come against any team with the strongest 11. But at the minute, in the situation that we're in, I mean, I wouldn't want to be coming up against them. So, as a Liverpool fan, it's...
But you're happy, yeah, but you're happy.
No, I'm never happy for injuries. I just want to put that out there. But it's always a good thing when we're conceding goals the way we are. The way we're conceding goals, it's a positive from a Liverpool perspective.
Good thing, like the guy, I think. It could go all over the way, I think. It could either be Liverpool get a reaction or we continue the good momentum.
I'm more inclined to say that you guys have the good momentum and Liverpool are an absolute mess at the minute, and that makes me sound terrible as a Liverpool fan, because I always want to have hope that my team can win football games, but just the way it is at the minute, it just feels as though it's such a difficult run. I think it depends what happens tonight. depends what starting 11 Arna goes for.
Will he rest a few players?
I thought he would, but from what I'm seeing on social media, from people who tend to be in the know, they seem to be saying a lot of people will be shocked at how strong the team's going to be. So I'm not 100% sure, but this is probably a game where he needs to give the likes of Chiesa game time and to show who actually is on form in this team right now. You need to give these players a chance to shine, basically. But then, well, yeah, but the thing for me is when you've got such a big game like Villa ahead, there needs to be cohesion. There's no cohesion whatsoever between the team. So if we start strong tonight, I don't necessarily blame him for that. I can understand why he wants to do that, to get some rhythm right before we play Villa. So we'll see. I think it depends what happens tonight on how panicked I'll be by the time Saturday comes around. But if we lose another game of football, I'll be very sad on Saturday. So,
well, I'm going to come to one more question before we finish. So, do you think Liverpool win the Premier League this season?
No, I don't, sadly. And that, do you know what? It changes so quickly. I mean, the start of the season, we're getting all those late winners and everyone's saying, this is the quickest the title's ever been won. It's Liverpool's and all that. Then we lose a few games and all of a sudden it's, this is Arsenal's title and it's Arsenal's to lose. And if Arsenal lose this now, you know, it changes so quick. Yeah. The thing with City is they don't look like the finished article at the minute. Pep's still got loads of work to do, I think. And the actual quality of some of the players are not up to what they had a few years ago. I think this is a proper rebuild for him. Listen, any team that's got Erling Haaland in can win a football game. But for me, I think it was always going to be between us and Arsenal. Maybe, you never know at Man City, because they can always pick it up second half of the season and go on a mad run of winning every single game. And that's something us Liverpool fans have always experienced. Listen, we've lost the league to them so many times by 1 point, and it's just dreadful. And that's when they pick up in that second half of the season. So maybe City is still in it. But for me, I think if we win the next five or whatever, I think people will change the narrative. I think if we can do well in November, December, I think January we'll be having completely different conversations. I just think the narrative at the minute is that it's Arsenal's, and it sort of tricks me as well from the conversations that I'm having that we are. I see this many defeats and I just go, you can't win a title like this. Yeah. But it's not like we're coming up against the Man City of old, where you had to get 90 odd points to be able to win the league. We won it on like 84 last season, something like that. And we dipped towards the end where, you know, like I said before, Slot was in Ibiza for most of the end of the season. So at the minute, as it stands, asking me right now, can we win the league? I think no. I think we've lost too many games now, and we've not given ourselves enough breathing room to be able to do anything but 100% and go on a winning run.
Sorry to rub it in.
I'll be thinking about it tonight, even though it's the Carabao Cup. I'll just be looking at the Premier League trophy on the wall, just thinking, can we do it again? But I don't have belief right now. But if you ask me in five more games, and let's say we win five games now, Arsenal drew a few or lose one, or, you know, that sort of thing, it changes very quickly. But right now, I don't think so.
Can I guess a score prediction from you?
Oh, I'm always going to back Liverpool. I'm always going to go for Liverpool. 2-1 Liverpool, because I just think we'll concede, but maybe we'll get a late winner. You never know. What about you?
Well, originally I was going to say a 1-1 draw, but I changed my mind. A 2-1 Villa win.
That's because I've made you so confident now. I did say.
Yeah. I did tell confident you. Now,
my negativity will just, honestly. Oh, you never know. You never know. But I'll always back Liverpool to win. But at the minute, it doesn't feel great. We shall see.
Well, Amy, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. I enjoy it. It's great. As long as we win. If Liverpool can win, then I'll be relieved.
Well, thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, Please remember to make sure and subscribe. Make sure and smash the likes. And make sure to give it a share on your socials. And if you're listening via audio, make sure to leave us a good review on all audio platforms. Let me know in the comment section on YouTube. Thank you so much, Abby, for your time. We're going to wrap up this episode. It's been a thriller, as always. And up the hill.